As a church family, we exist to help each other grow and get stronger and become who God designed us to be. And so one of the ways we do that is that the children meet with Jan in that room over there, and they grow strong together, and that's their time to do that now. So if you're a children, Sabin, you can go with them too. Yes, good. And we have had the most amazing weekend together, looking again at parenting. Remember we told you about the parenting conference? And we're so glad to have Shannon and Carissa here with us today. And the Lord has downloaded to Shannon a beautiful word for us as a church family. And so I'm going to ask you to come up now, Shannon, and all right, let's get you a podium. And then share God's word with us, and then we'll respond together after that. Hi. We are so glad you're here, and we're so glad that you're going to be more here soon. Because in case you hadn't gathered, Shannon and Jody and the family are going to be moving here soon as God opens the door.
Yes.
And that's going to be soon. So, in Jesus' name.
Yes. I know, when she said, Jan is so much fun. When Mark said the children can come, I almost went back there. I know. Carissa, too. Yeah, so good morning. Good morning, everyone. Let me do a few things. Yeah, so this weekend we did do a parenting conference, and who was all here? Who went to it? Yeah, I was thinking, do any one of you want to share a little something? Or no? Do you feel or no? You can do it right there. That's fine, yeah.
It did relate to a lot of my parenting, which made me put me on the spot. I'm like, wow. It was like, yay or no. Yeah, so thank you, Shannon and Carissa. It was very informative. The thing I learned the most is that we have to, you know, like love on our kids from heart to heart. So, yes, so that was really a blessing. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, yes, Rosie.
I attended the class as well, and I found it very, as the first time, very enlightening. Each time I learned something a little different about myself, not so much about the kids, even though it was a parenting class. The thing I took most from it is how we were brought up and how we parent our kids just like our parents parent us. Whether it's good, bad, or ugly, we do that, conscious or unconscious. Those are some of the things that we do. But the most that I took from the class is that we have an opportunity to repair and connect. And that was very eye-opening for me in dealing with your kids. And what I'm referring to is like situations that maybe an incident happened with your child, say my son, and I was just irate with him. Instead of embracing him with love and talking to him, I may have responded as my parent responded, because that's what I'm used to, that's what's natural, that came natural. But I have to be more conscious of their feelings and how it affects them in the long term. And so that's what I took from the class. So I have some repairing and reconnecting to do with myself as well as Trinity. So I look forward to that journey.
Wow. Yeah, so our parenting class, I'm sure Mark wants to do another one in the future. But it's basically we can only give with what we have. And if we don't have an understanding what it is to love from heart to heart with our kids, then it's the best we can do. And so we just kind of, in the beginning, go over heart blockages, which is always fun. And then afterwards, just look at how to connect. And so it was amazing. I felt like it was beautiful. It was a beautiful time, wasn't it? Yeah, and it's an interactive class, so we're all talking. It's not just me standing up here and saying something and wanting them to listen. I love, we all connect, so that's one of my favorite parts about it. Because I glean from what other people say too, right? So thank you. Yeah, so yeah, let me just pray. I just want to just pray for a moment. Just close your eyes. If you want, you can put your hand on your heart just to connect with what God is doing. So yeah, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence, your sweetness. You're so sweet. And I just thank you, Father, even right now that you are opening the eyes of our heart, that you are even opening the eyes of my heart in this moment. Just opening the eyes of our heart to see you in a new way, in a beautiful way, in a redeeming way. Yes. Thank you, Father. Amen. I also, I'm part of Father Heart Ministries, and so just a little add in to before I start teaching. In May, Mark and Jane are hosting a Father Heart A School, and we're actually condensing it. So a lot of times we do it from Sunday night to Saturday morning, and it makes it hard for individuals who have to work to be able to come to the school. And one of the requirements is that you have to attend the whole thing. But we have worked it out in May to do it over that holiday weekend. So we've condensed it some, and we're starting Thursday night and ending Monday evening, and Monday's a holiday. So really, if you work Monday through Friday and your Monday is a holiday, then Friday you can take off. And that's the only day you would have to take off, which works great. And then Andy and Ganelle will be Zooming in and doing some other things during the conference, but we're really excited. There's some other individuals that will be flying in to help with the school, so it's gonna be great. So if you can, I highly, highly, highly recommend that you come, okay? And if you're not familiar with what, I know we have a couple people in here who've attended an A school, but basically it is a school that is based on a revelation that God has always been your Father. And part of the reason why Jesus came is so he could bring us in to that relationship with his Father. We're in him, we're in Christ, and now we get to participate in his relationship with his Father. And it's beautiful. Yes. Right? Right. That's right. Yes, everyone should go. Thank you. But it is. It completely transformed my life, and it transformed my family's life, which out of that course is how the parenting course was birthed out of it. It came out of that revelation. So it is quite beautiful. Yes, and I'm sure Mark will be promoting it more until then. So when I was thinking, it was interesting because we were doing the parenting class, but before I was doing the parenting class, I really felt like the Father was wanting me to talk to you about trust. What is trust? And it was quite funny. He always surprises me. I get surprised very easily. Very easily. You know, it's always new, even though it's not new. But as we were finishing the course, we were talking about play and childlikeness and how to enter into play. And then all of a sudden at the end, we landed on trust, and it didn't dawn on me that he had kind of mentioned it a few days before. And so if you turn around and look at the board, I was laughing when I walked in, and I was like, ah, ha, 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 look at that. He really had something to say about trust. But not only trust, I feel like he wants to kind of, you know, some things pair together. And something I'm realizing in my heart is that trust and weakness and vulnerability actually go hand in hand, right? There's something beautiful about that, learning how to trust him, and then in return, there's a place of weakness and vulnerability that go alongside of it. And so I just wanted to bring you along on this journey. For me, especially in the last 3 or 4 years, and I just want to start off with a story that happened a few years ago. So I had a really close friend, okay? So I was saved as a Christian. When I was saved as a Christian, I was an adult. My husband and I had just gotten married. We'd only been married a few years. Neither one of us grew up in the church. Got saved, filled with the Spirit, and then eventually came in to this revelation. Can I have some water, Mark? Thank you. But what had happened in the beginning of my journey, I had met this amazing woman, and her name was Linda, and she was my person. She was the person that I had no concept of Christianity. I had no concept of the rules and how to act and what to do. And the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me. And it was amazing. But I had no concept. So I could call her and I could tell her anything, no matter how weird it sounded. Is it okay when I speak in tongues, these weird things happen? Yes. Oh, okay. Like, that was our relationship. I could trust her so much. She was my person to call. I loved her so much. And we actually walked that journey together for so long. But then, unfortunately, in 2022, she had passed away suddenly. And it was very painful for me. It was very hard. It was, and I may get a little tender in this. I think it's not an issue of my heart not being resolved. It's just the love I had for her. And what happened was she passed away, and it was so hard for me. And I look back and I see the beauty in that, because I can see how the Father kind of weaved his way into that. He took this moment of loss and he was like, let me show you something. You know, and in that season, he was asking me to step down from some things and come into a place of knowing him in a deeper way. Obviously, in the time, I couldn't fully see it, but obviously, that's why we share, because we can see it afterwards, right? We can see what he's doing afterwards. And I remember there were moments, and I'm sure everyone can relate to this, when you're feeling that loss. Would anyone really understand my pain? Does anyone around me really get it? Because I feel like I'm alone in this pain. How am I going to walk through this? Like, who am I going to call? Who am I going to call who will totally not judge me and get me and love me unconditionally? Because that's what I felt when I would call her. I could say anything I wanted, right? And so I cried and cried. I mean, it was a lot of crying. It was so funny because there were some days that my husband was like, hey, how are you doing? And I was like, I got dressed. I'm dressed. I ate and I brushed my teeth. You know those days? Has anyone gone through this? Yes. And I would, it was, you know, I naturally in my relationship with the Father, I have come into a place when I know he can comfort me and I can go to him throughout the day. But in that season, I was going like 15, 20 times a day. It felt like I would breathe and then go to him, and I would breathe and I would go to him, and I would just lay my heart in front of him and just say, like, I don't know what to do. And a lot of times it was just quiet and I would feel his peace. And he would do things. And during that season, there was a lot of him speaking to me through nature, right? He would just come to me in nature and he would say, this is who I am. And it was so impactful that now when I look at it, I could see that he was trying to say one thing to me. And the one thing he was trying to say to me is, I'm your person. I know you've lost her and I know it's hard, but I'm your person. And I can see that now, right? You know, obviously, whenever there's troubles, whenever there's people, there can be pain, right? Yeah. Yes, yes, right? And a lot of times I could see myself prior to this, like, exchange, this divine exchange of him and I could see I would always go to why? 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 Why did this happen? Why? I mean, who else can relate to that? Yes. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Holly. Yes. Why is this happening? Why? But then I started to see he was wanting me to ask him a different question. And the question he was wanting to ask me was, who is with me? Who is with you? Not why, but who is with you? And I slowly, as I started to see this, I could start to see, obviously, with Jesus's life and other people, when I would read, how they started to see, he is with me, right? Like, Jesus knew this. You can read so much that just the way when he was here on this earth, he knew who was with him. all of the time, regardless. You know, he walked a different walk. Obviously, we can read multiple times that a lot of people didn't agree with the way that he walked. They all thought he did it differently. And sometimes how we do it differently can make people uncomfortable. Right? Change is scary. I love Matthew 11:25, and I just want to touch on this. And as you get to know me, there's always, like I'm sure when you hear different speakers, there's always core things that are just the core of who they are. And this will always in some way be weaved in my teachings, maybe not verbally, but you'll see it in me. And I absolutely love this verse. And it's Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." I love the Passion Translation because it says, "by revealing it to those who have become trusting children." I'm not going to show it to the wise and learned. I'm not saying it's not good to learn things. But he was saying something in that. He was saying, "I'm revealing it to those who are trusting children." Jesus knew trust. You know, when I read that scripture, I thought, well, he's just talking about himself. Trusting children. He was not only talking to the individual saying, become like this, but he was saying, this is who I am. I am a trusting child. He is my Father, and I am trusting. You know, I love to watch people who lead by example, because love is an action verb. I look at people and think, you know, I look for that. He knew what it was like to be a little child. He had the heart of a child. He was a child of God. He was a child of the Father. And Father taught him these things because of who he was, what his heart was, right? It's interesting that revelation comes to the childlike. It doesn't come to the wise and prudent. When you're sitting there with your heart open, vulnerable and real, all of a sudden the revelation just starts flowing. I know when my heart is open and I start reading something and I know that I'm his daughter and I know that he's loving me, all of a sudden I read the word and it's like I've never read it before. But when I would go read it, trying to get something so I could feel wise with my peers, it was like, what? It's completely different. You know, Jesus is the babe that he's talking about. He's talking about how sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we don't know, right? But a lot of times when I don't know, I just trust love. And I'm very content with that. I'm very content, right? Jesus said, you need to be a child to enter into the kingdom of God. Do you think he entered any other way? I don't recall him saying that he entered any other way, right? I honestly am starting to see that love is the mark of maturity. The more love I see, the more maturity I see, right? Maturity is advancing into childlikeness. Love is the mark of maturity. Maturity is his nature being revealed to us. You know, God has natures. He has attributes. You can read it all throughout the scriptures, who he is, all the attributes that make him. He's kind. He's gentle. He's loving. All of the things we read are attributes of who he is. And the more we understand who he is and become like him, remember, God is love. 1 John says that God is love. And the more that we have this revealed to our heart, the more that we can see his nature, who he is. It's about trusting like a little child. All, and we talk about this in the parenting course, all a little child has to do to grow into who they are meant to be is to stay in the flow of receiving and responding to parental love. All a little child has to do when they're with mom and dad is stay in the flow of receiving and then responding to love. This morning when you guys were worshiping, there were songs that were being sung. Different people were feeling it inside, how their lives are going, how they can connect to it. And that was a response to Him loving you. Receiving and responding to love, because He is the perfect parent. He is parent. And on the school, we talk more about how He's not only just a father, but He's also like a mother to us. And He comforts us, right? He is the perfect parental love. I honestly am starting to see that a child, when Caleb went up there and started the piano, I just started laughing. And then I could not stop because it was so sweet. And I'm watching Jane and you're so free, Jane. That was beautiful. And he came up and he just started playing because it was in his heart. And sometimes, you know, children can make us feel uncomfortable because they're breaking the rules and not doing what we want them to do. And all of a sudden something in us is like, wait a minute, that's not what you're supposed to do. What is he doing? But actually it was beautiful because if you could see him from over here, and I kept looking at Carissa, and then I look back at Holly and she's like wiping her tears because she's laughing so hard. And I'm looking up there and he's playing and I'm thinking, wow, he is so free. Oh, did you? It was so childlike. And I can look at, sometimes I'll look at children and I'll say, you know, sometimes I look at children and they'll do something and I'm like, will you lay hands on me? Will you pray for me? Because I want some freedom. I need freedom. Right? I need freedom. And I'm not saying that he's childish. I'm not saying God is childish. I'm saying he's childlike. And I could go through all the attributes, but I know that you can think of it. But he's childlike. And the thing about the world is that he has taught us, you know, we've been taught in this world to be mature. Right? The world standard of mature. Keep it all together. But Jesus said, I'm not of this world. Right? The world has taught us to be independent, to rely on ourselves, to figure it out. It's funny because we went in 2022, so Linda passed away, and then 3 or 4 months later, I went to a gathering. Father Hart does different events around the world, and I went to a gathering, and it was right after COVID, so it was still that time frame internationally that you went into some countries and they still were a little bit farther back than we were on the expectations. I think America was one of the first ones that were like, I'm not doing this anymore. And then Canada was a little bit more reserved. And so I go to the gathering and they want to take a COVID test right when you come into the country. And like 3 days before, I got a sniffle. And I was like, oh no, what if it's COVID? Because what they were doing is that if you had COVID, they were putting you in a hotel for 10 days. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's half my gathering. You know, I started getting afraid. You know, I realized how much PTSD I had from COVID over a sniffle. Did anyone else have PTSD? Did anyone get a sniffle and get afraid? I did. I'm glad that it's okay. But so I got afraid and I remember, and please, I'm being dead serious. I think I took like 4 COVID tests in 2 days and every time it was negative, but I was just waiting for it to be positive. I was scared. I really was. I was so nervous and anxious. And all of the sudden I just said, you know what? What can I do? Oh, I'm going to go ask my daughter to pray for me because I don't know what else to do. And so I went to Addie and I said, Addie, she was playing her little game on her tablet in her bed, all nonchalant. And some of you have met her and she's playing and playing and playing. And I was like, hey, Addie, I told her the whole thing. I said, will you pray for me? And she's like, sure, I will. I'm like, okay, you know, I'm all nervous. And she lays her hand on my shoulder and she says, Abba, I know you hear me. Will you heal my mom if she's sick and not let her get COVID? Amen. That was it. I was like, wow, that's it? And she's like, yeah, that's it. I was like, okay. So I went to bed, move forward, go to the gathering. And I'm at the gathering, and I decided, you know, sometimes it's good to take a break. And so I said, I'm not going to read anything from my Bible. I'm just going to receive and listen to the teachings. And then about 10 days, maybe halfway through, I thought, I do want to read something. I'm just going to open it up. And what's a good place? What's an easy, safe place to start? I'll just go to John. It always makes you feel good, you know. So I go to the book of John, and I start reading. And I open my book, and I landed on this, which doesn't happen very much, but this is what I found. It said John 11:41, and it's the story of Jesus and Lazarus, okay? And it says, so they took away the stone, then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, and they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus came out. Father, I know that you heard me, and right there it landed in my heart, and I immediately thought of Addie. And how childlike she was when she prayed. Everything inside of her said, I believe that my Father hears me. And I was like, wow, I want more of that. I want more of that childlike faith. She didn't even doubt it, not for a second. Like, Addie believed that he hears her when she talks to him. Like, she completely trusts that her Father hears her when she's speaking to him. And of course, in my heart, I started processing all the times that I really don't believe that he's listening to me. Or maybe my response is that I can believe that he's not listening to me. You know, trust. That's where we're landing. We're on the plane. We're going to land it. Trust. When we were all created, when all of you were created, when God created you in your mother's womb, we were born with an innate ability to trust. We were created to rely on others. That's what we were created to do. I love community because it's like the Father's trying to show us something about trust. He's really trying to show us something. Trust is relational. And when I look, I'm starting to see, when I hear Jesus say something profound in the Word, I am starting to see that Jesus's wisdom was a relational wisdom. His wisdom was not independent on his own, but actually it was a community of wisdom coming together, and they were listening to each other. It was a relational wisdom. It was like this family relational wisdom that he brought to the world. And what I mean by that is he was in the family of the Trinity, always listening to his Father, listening to the Holy Spirit. It was like this community, this commune, this relational divine love, speaking to each other, loving each other all of the time. And he was in that. It was never self-seeking. It was always relational. He always did what his Father said and was doing. He was always listening. You know, the unique thing about our Christian faith, and I know Mark is so great about teaching on the Trinity, is that we believe about the doctrine of God, that our God is both three in one, correct? And it is very mysterious. It took me a long time, and I'm still trying to understand it. And it's okay if I don't understand it, you know? But it is all the same all the time. But I'm starting to realize the deepest truth of the Trinity is how they love one another. All of the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they are loving each other. Even right now, as you're sitting there, let's just take a moment and close our eyes, because right now you are immersed in this beautiful love of Father, Son, and Spirit, and they are around you right now. And not only are they pouring their love into your heart, like Romans 5:5 says, but they are also loving one another. And you are experiencing this beautiful, divine love. It is so beautiful. So just sit there a minute and just come into a place of realization and revelation that the Trinity is loving you right now. They are loving you right now. They are so relational. They have never separated. They were together at creation. They have never left each other. Not one time was either one of them all alone. And they are trying to show you, we were never alone, and now you are not alone. The Trinity, the divine family, they are the perfect example of family love. They are trust. It's like a beautiful divine kiss that is coming. And a lot of in the 12th century, a lot of the saints would talk about, not only is it a great dance happening around you, but it's also a beautiful kiss from the Father coming down and just kissing you. Thank you, Father. You know, my story, part of my story, I know when I lost trust. I think if I were to say, take a moment, which I don't want to do this right now because it's more of a prayer ministry meeting, and Jane and Mark are so wonderful at that. But just if I were to take a moment, I know the moment that I lost trust. Over the years, the Father has pinpointed to me, this is when you lost trust. And I was really young, and there was some trauma that happened to me, and it was really hard, and I lost trust. Trust was taken away. In my little heart, you know who we are, there was trust, and it was taken away. But I didn't even know that it was taken away. I just started to live my life without trust, thinking that I was okay. Right? So it just was taken away. And in that moment, when trust was taken away, a piece of me closed off. That's what happens when you don't trust. And when our trust is broken with people in our lives, unfortunately, the repercussion that happens is our trust can also be broken with God. And we don't even know it. So someone breaks your heart, someone does something, they take trust away, you get guarded, the walls come up, but since those walls are up, we also lose trust with him. Not intentionally. I'm not saying that you're saying, I don't trust you, God, but unfortunately we have these ways and these mechanisms and these narratives that we use, and we don't even know it's happening, right? And I can see in my life where that happened. When our trust is broken with people in our lives, our trust can also be broken with God, right? And of course, I get saved not knowing this was happening, and I would always say the right thing. I trust you, Lord. You know, but there was a part of my heart that did not. But I thought, if I say it, if I declare it and I say it, it's real. Well, that's not true, because my heart was not there, right? There were blockages. We'd like to talk about that. But Father wanted to come and bring love into my heart, because that's what love does. When love is poured into who you are, it comes and it works around those areas. And it's so gentle and beautiful. And I remember this picture he gave me. I'm just remembering it right now, so I'm just going to share it. There was this picture I had one day when I closed my eyes, and I was walking up to this campfire. And I was walking through the woods, and I came up to the campfire, and there was Jesus. And he ran up to greet me, and he said, hi, Shannon. And I said, hi, Jesus. And he said, come with me. And I said, okay. And so I go to follow him, and there's this beautiful fire, and I look across the flames, and I recognize there's the Father, there's a little girl, and there's the Holy Spirit. And I thought, what's going on here? And I got closer, and I said, oh, that's me when I was little. And all of a sudden, Jesus just smiled at me like he does, and he walks over and he sits next to the Father, and all three of them are just talking to me at the age that I lost trust. And all this time in my Christianity, as I've been walking through all this stuff, that whole time when I didn't know it, the Trinity was coming to me as a little girl and starting to work on that issue, because that's what they do. You don't have, you know, once you come in them and you're in Christ, they're doing it when you don't know they're doing it. And then one day you're like, wow, that doesn't bother me anymore. And that's what they were doing, right? And he was working on these blockages because he was wanting to say, Shannon, I am trustworthy. You were born with an innate ability to trust, and I'm trustworthy, and I want you to trust me, right? Actually, I'm naturally a really free person. If you get to know me, I like to have fun. I take things lightly. Chris and I have been laughing a lot this weekend because some of the things that have come up. And but there were parts of my heart that I did not know that was still suspicious. You ever feel like that? Maybe you leave a great time and then something in your heart feels a little suspicious of who you were with, right? Yes. Yeah, and I realized when I look back at that, when I was growing up, there was a little lie that I started to believe from the moment I lost trust in my heart. Sometimes we don't recognize how little lies grow really big, and then all of a sudden they're like the roof of your house, and you're like, something feels different. And you don't know it happened, right? You don't know it happened, but it came from what had happened as a child. And if, you know, it was interesting because when it happened to the people I thought were safe, the lie that I believed was if they had loved me, they would never let those things happen to me. If they would have loved me, they would have never let those things happen to me. And then all of a sudden I get saved, I become a Christian, I get to know the Father, and I would find myself not audibly saying this, but in my heart I'd be saying to God, if you really love me, you won't let things happen to me. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, love does not manipulate. And in my little girl heart, I thought if I just manipulate the situation with him, he will be not like them. Well, he's not like them. I just didn't believe it. The real issue was trust, and it was taken from me. You know, and after Linda passed away, it was really hard. And I had to go through a phase of mourning, letting go, accepting the fact that I wouldn't have her back in my life. I had to do all the grieving. That's what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to let things go. But when he invites you into a place of letting go, there's always more. You think it's something small, and then you go through all the stages, you know, denial, anger, you bargain, you get really sad, and then you accept it, right? But he does it because there's something much more beautiful in the process, and I'm really starting to see this. I love when he invites me to let go. It's not easy, right? But I love it. And I had this amazing time with him. And even though there was some parts, like I laugh about Jody saying, I'm really happy you got dressed and all those things, but he was okay with that. So if anyone is in the process, even right now, of letting go of something and you feel like it's taking a long time, I'm okay with that. I'm okay because it took like 3 years to let go of some things. And I'm okay with that. I think sometimes the world wants us to, let's get it done. Let me see some results. Let's see results. But that is not the Father because he is eternal. When we go and we're in heaven, when we go to be with him, it's eternal. Right? He's okay with it. I think we have to come to a place that we're okay with it. And in that place of letting go of the control, he comes in and you can see something. Right? It's usually humanity that's not okay with the timing. Because he's out of time, right? Yes, he is. But what's amazing during this time, Anita, during this time, he gave me a dream. So one of the ways that he talks to me is through dreams. It's just one of the ways. And so he gave me this dream. And in this time of really in the great sadness is what I call it. They call it depression. psychologists call it depression, but I called it the great sadness. So during the great sadness of my life, I'm sitting there and I'm like experiencing this great sadness, thinking, am I ever going to come out of this? Because I feel like I'm never going to. And I had a dream, and in the dream that night, because my husband travels, Addie came and she was like, hey, can I sleep with you? And I'm like, sure. And so we're laying and sleeping. And in my dream, I woke up and it was so real. In my dream, I was wearing what I went to bed and she was wearing what she went to bed, and she looked exactly like she did. So I thought it was real. So I get up in my dream and go by the sliding glass door. And I go to get a cup of water and take something. And then I come back and I look, and there's a man on my back porch in the sliding glass door, and he's smiling. And I was like, you know, and usually in reality, you'd be like, ah, like, who is this man on my back porch? But in my dream, the way he looked at me, there was almost this heavenly thing. Like, I knew he was safe, and he's smiling at me. Like he had been in my house and now he was leaving. And I thought, And so I go into my bedroom and I go to sit down, and I'm sitting in my bed thinking, well, that was kind of weird. You know, in your dreams, you don't rationalize like you do when you're awake. I was like, that was weird. And I'm looking at Addie, and all of the sudden I look at the door, and levitating at the door, I'm not kidding you, is this key. And it goes floating across the room, and I grab it and look at it, still thinking I'm awake. And I think, wow, look at the key. And I just hold it. And then I said, I'm going to go back to sleep. And I lay back down. And then in my dream, I wake up again, but I'm still dreaming. And I got up again and I thought, well, that was a weird dream. But I didn't know I was still dreaming. And I look over, it was like a dream in a dream, it was weird. And I look over at the door, and all of the sudden, levitating at the door is this gift. And it's about this big. And all of a sudden, this gift starts floating over to me. And I think, wow. And it comes over to me. And as I pick it up and look at it, it had been wrapped by a little child with all the masking tape and all the crazy wrapping paper. And then they use like a whole thing of tape to wrap it. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, wow, it's so like a child did this. And I thought, wow. And I woke up, and all of a sudden, in reality, when I woke up, and I'm not kidding you, my phone is playing this song. In reality, my phone is playing this song, and it's a worship song. I can't think of the person, but I will. Thank you. Called Trust. And it is playing in my room. Who is it again? And it is playing in my room, this song about trust and the Father, and you can trust me. And all of a sudden, the tears just fell, and I saw something. It was very easy to figure out. He was like, what is the easiest way that I can show Shannon that I am here and you can trust me? And it was like, you know, here is this gift that you get to become like a child, and in this gift, you are going to trust me. It's an amazing song. It is so beautiful. It just laid out my dream. And I knew when I sat there and thought, wow. I thought, wow. And I knew that the man on the back of my porch, I knew it had been an angel. And I knew the angel had come into my house. And I knew the angel came and he brought his presence and what heaven was doing in my house while I was sleeping. I know for a fact, you cannot make me change my mind. No one will. It was so real. Well, the next day, something shifted in my heart. It was like he came into my heart while I was sleeping, and he said, I'm going to help you with that. And the best time is when you're sleeping, because sometimes when you're awake, it just is really hard, Shannon. So he's doing, it's probably like, you know, they do surgery when we're sleeping, right? So he's doing this thing, and he's working on my heart. And all of a sudden, when I woke up that morning, I remember waking up and a friend, or actually I called my husband and he was on his trip, and I said everything I said to you. And I said, I feel so free. He said, that's amazing, because he had been walking this with me for like a year and a half. I said, I still feel so free. I said, I could go get on the roof and jump off, and I think I could fly. And he was like, no, don't do that. Like, please don't, Shannon, because he knows me. Sometimes my faith is too big. He's like, Shannon, please don't do that. I know, talk me down. He was like, please do not jump off the roof and fly. But in my heart, I felt like I had the faith like a little girl who could believe that I could walk on water and I could fly. And I knew he was inviting me into something. And it was like this, and we talk about this on the A School, it's the glorious freedom of sonship. I was coming into my true identity as a daughter, and I was experiencing this glorious freedom. And he did it. I mean, it's great for us to do the work too. He wants to partner with us in the pain. He wants to help us. He gives us avenues and tools and individuals in our life to help us, but sometimes he just comes. Right? In that way. And it was trust returning to me, and all of a sudden something changed. I just trusted him. There was something in me. It was so beautiful that I just started to trust him. And I really came to a place in my heart where I realized everything is not going to be okay. You know, it was almost like he was teaching me how to reset and reconnect, right, to my heart. He was showing me this. And I realized one of the steps in this that he showed me, and I just want to kind of end it kind of here, not fully there, but one of the things he showed me was, I just need you to be vulnerable. I need you to be real with me, right? I need you to be vulnerable. Like, in my weakness and in my vulnerability, here it is, you know, it's parallel with trust. In my weakness and my vulnerability, I had to come to him. Like, Jesus knew about weakness, didn't he? He talks about it. He wasn't alone. He knew when he was weak, he wasn't alone. And in his vulnerability at times, he knew who to go to. Because there's moments where it says he went away to be alone. You know, can you imagine the things that were happening at the time? And then he had to step in and he had to be alone, and it had to come into a place of weakness. Look at, here's an example. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I love this picture of sonship and his relationship with the Father. You know, he prayed before he was betrayed. He was sweating blood, right? Right? He is in the garden praying, and he says, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. Not my will, but yours be done. He wasn't going to give up, but he was like, can you just take it? I need you to take it. And he was going to the Father, and he was saying, this is going to be hard. This is hard. This is going to be tough. What is about to happen will be tough, because he was part man also, remember? I don't want this. Is there any other way that we can do this, Father? Is there any other way? And this is the Father's response. And this is what you see as you hear the rest of the story. It says, it has to be like this because we have to bring all of the lost brother and sisters back home, but I'm going to walk through with you in this. He sent an angel, did he not? And an angel comforted him. He sent an angel to Jesus, and the angel comforted him. Paul describes this on the cross in 2 Corinthians, that God was reconciling the world to himself, that in Christ, you know, in Christ, in him, in the Godhead, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us this message of reconciliation, that in all the pain, Father never turned his face away from Jesus, because it says in Christ, and there's lots of scriptures that go into that, and I'm not going to go, but we will talk about that on an A School. In all the pain, Father turned away with Jesus. He was one with him. He was in him. He was in Christ. They were together. The Trinity has been together since the very beginning. They have never been separate. In some of our theology, we have separated them, but they have never been separate. They have always been one, bringing the world back to himself. when Father sent the angel to him, it was to comfort him. It was to strengthen him. And then Jesus said to the disciples, "You will all leave me, but the Father is always with me." He knew the Father would always be with him. You will leave me, but my Father, he won't leave me. He knew the way. You know, they say Jesus is the way. Well, the way is to the Father. Jesus is the way. He knew he was never alone. Didn't mean it wasn't hard. Didn't mean he didn't weep sometimes, right? He wanted the world to see in this beautiful picture of the gospel many things, but one of those beautiful things that he wanted the world to see is that you are not alone. You are not alone. He wants to come and he wants to comfort us. He wants to strengthen us and walk through the suffering and the pain, because the suffering and pain will come. The things will happen. In that we begin to see in the comfort that we can trust again. You can trust again. In that I realized I need to let him know who I really am. In my weakness, I need to show him who I am. And we can all be really good at pretending. I had lots of facades that I could use, you know, to make myself feel better. But come to him, and I can give him all of my mask and say, I know I've been using these techniques and these ways to manage my way through this world, but they're not working for me. So can you just come take those away? Because I can see they're not working. And just come love me, even in my brokenness. Come and love me. And in his goodness, he knows everything about you. There's nothing hidden from him. And he's still loving you. That's the beauty of it. Relationally, he only knows what we tell him to see. There's a difference. He knows everything. But relationally, we only let him see so much. But he already knows. He's just waiting for you to relationally come to him and be completely open, weak, and vulnerable. So he can come. He does not come pushing into your pain and try to control. That's what I love about God, is free will. He wants us to come and say, here. He already knows, but relationally, he wants us to invite him too, right? His way to relate to us is always going to be relational. He's relational. That is only when I'm vulnerable and when I'm weak that I can do this, right? There's something impacting when I'm around somebody who's experiencing weakness and they are letting God come and touch their heart. I love that. I love being around someone and they are just vulnerable and weak and they are allowing the Father to come and minister to their heart. I love that. I look for that. I think that's a beautiful attribute. I really do. I really do. Jeremiah says this, "Call unto me and I will show you great and mighty things." Call unto me, call me, and I will show you great and mighty things. Call unto me. When we cry out to him with all of our hearts, that crying out is a gift to him. It's a gift. It is a gift to cry out to him. Humility comes out of that, right? We don't come to know him at the levels that we think we want him to know. We're just real. Call unto me. Call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things. And that's where he comes, and he meets us, and he strengthens us. Yes, thank you, Father. And Paul knew this, and there's so much in 1 Corinthians when he talks about weakness, how he talks about in his weakness he finds strength. What I think he means by that is he's called on for the Lord to come to him, and in that weakness, God came and strengthened him. He says, I came to you in weakness and great fear. Remember, he had a period of time where he was in the desert, and God was dealing with his stuff. he was dealing with his heart for a time, right? He really did get humble. And even Jesus said, you were killing my people. Can you imagine if Jesus came to you and said, you were killing my people? Yeah, I would have to go away for a while with the Lord and deal with my heart, right? It was a very, I cannot wait to talk to Paul. I cannot wait to hear the gaps in between. I want to hear his heart, what that was like in the desert. What was that experience? And I have a feeling he'll say it was like your experience. And I'll say, yes, I get it. Right? You know, and Paul had wise and persuasive words, right? That your faith will not rest on men's wisdom. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and preaching and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. Right? I mean, it's beautiful. And if you sit there and you read through 2 Corinthians, if you read through 1 Corinthians, he says so much about weakness. And last, I just want to finish this. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. I'm not wise by human standards sometimes. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and prudent. He uses the foolish things to shame the wise and prudent. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things. I love that. And the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose weakness. Chooses foolish things, takes nothing, and makes it into something. That's what he does. He takes foolish things, the foolest of things, and he makes it into something. That's what he loves to do. He really does. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus is saying, I am meek. I want you to be meek while I am Lord. I am meek. I want you to be meek while I am Lord. This is who we are together. When you are meek and lowly at heart, then I can be real to you. When you are meek, childlike, real, I can be real to you, right? And I want to finish with this psalm, and I want to pray for you. The beginning of Psalm 116 says this. It's so great. Came to my heart this morning. It's so great when you forget something and then it comes back to you. It says in the beginning of Psalm 116, I love the Lord, for he hears my voice. He heard my cry. I love the Lord, for he hears my voice and he hears my cry. But in the Passion, I also love the Passion, just to kind of reference, it says, I am passionately in love with God. I am passionately in love with God because he listens to me. He hears my prayers and answers them. He stoops down to listen to my heart's cry. He stoops down and he listens to my heart's cry. A love that goes so deep, it just goes so deep to restore that childlike trust in you. His love stoops down to go so deep to that childlike trust within you. I love that. It makes me feel so, oh my gosh, you're like, oh, thank God, finally. that release of feeling. And many times as people, it is hard to trust others. And why do we struggle with this? Why do we struggle with love? What is this? But we have not had an experience. If we feel the struggle in the area of trust and we're not able to trust some areas, it's only because we have not experienced love in that area. And I believe when I was praying this morning, I heard the Father say, I'm coming to restore trust in your heart. I believe it. I'm coming to a place in your heart that maybe trust needs to be restored. Like, I believe in this love so much. If there's anything, at the end of the day, I believe in this. I know what it is for trust to return. So I just want you to close your eyes, and I just want to pray for you, because I really believe this is what the Father is doing. I believe that he wants to come and restore it in your heart. So thank you, Father, that you are here right now, that you've been here this whole time just smiling at us. It's not something scary or painful. It's not punishment. It wasn't about obedience or obeying. It was about love. You have come in your love to restore that in us. As love fills your heart, something happens. And I believe that Jesus wants to show you that beautiful weakness. And I believe the Spirit is here with you right now in this Trinitarian love. And not only is the Father coming, Jesus is wanting to set the example of weakness and vulnerability. And the Spirit is here with a beautiful, beautiful impartation of love and comfort. That is who the Holy Spirit is. He comforts us. That is why he is here. He comforts us, and he is here to comfort you. He is here to comfort you. So, Father, I thank you right now. I can just see that you are moving in the heart of every single person here. And if they're even thinking, which area first, Father? Which area do you want to trust first? You know, and it is quite beautiful. And I can even see him going back in time and just touching those places in your heart, even when you were young and maybe you're not experiencing it, but he is doing it. So thank you, Father, that you're restoring trust this morning. So we can start to see how beautiful the community is, the community of heaven. Yes, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Shannon. What a beautiful impartation from the heart of one child to the heart of many children. Thank you. We're going to wrap this up by celebrating community. Because there's a reason why community and communion have the same root. Because this symbol shows us that it's safe to be vulnerable. It's bread that's flat because it's been flattened by the trials of life. It's bread that's scorched because it's gone through the heat of suffering and trial. It's bread that's got holes in it because it's pierced for our falling short. And it's bread that's got lines on it because it's been stretched and had a hard time. And God wants us to recognize that the hard time I'm in doesn't prevent me being like that. And when I say hi to God, he doesn't ignore me like Mark did with Caleb just then. He smiles. And he loves. So let's just close our eyes and allow whatever it is that Father put his finger on in your heart to just come back to the surface again. Father, where have I been holding back or pretending or focusing on hurt? Or in some way just missing out on how loved I am by the three of you? I'm just going to bring it to you now, Father. It's kind of scorched and pierced and broken, and I'm just going to come to you because you've placed me in a community. the community of the Godhead and the community of your family. And Father, you let your Son go through it. Holy Spirit, you were with Jesus all the way through it. And when he said that my blood is the blood of a new commitment, a new embrace, a new certainty, he said it because it's true. And so we're going to come as a community to receive those elements. We're going to come as a community to receive the broken body and the shed blood of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're never apart. Never apart. And neither are you. So as you focused on whatever it is that God's put his finger on that would tend to separate you, I'm going to invite you to stand up and walk away from it. To walk away from that and toward him, toward them, into community. Come and receive the elements, but please don't receive just for yourself. We're going to all receive together this morning. We do this differently every week if you're visiting, so sorry if it's unpredictable, but we're all going to receive together this morning because communion and community, not just of human beings, but of the Godhead and us, is what we celebrate together. So come and receive the elements, and I'm going to ask Alex and Renee to actually pass them out for us, please. Come and receive the elements, and then let's all sort of circle up in a big old circle, and I'll lead us to receive. And let me underline that everyone is welcome at the table. Whether you think you're welcome or not, God says you're welcome. So come and receive, come and circle up, and we'll all receive together. When you have the elements, let's form one big circle so we can see each other. Let's come and circle up so we can all see one another. Let's hold the broken matzah and just see. Let's all just hush and focus, please. Let's all just hush and focus now, please. Thank you. Let's look at the matzah. Because Jesus is saying to each of our hearts, it's safe to be real. It's safe to be vulnerable. It's safe to feel broken. And so, Jesus, as we receive your broken body, we receive the assurance in our hearts that it's safe to be real with you and with one another. Let's receive the bread. And Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you that when we receive the cup, it's all one cup. We've all got our own little plastic cups just for ease, but it's all the same juice. Because we're all part of you. And you've pulled us in to life in all its fullness by this covenant that Jesus has initiated. So as I walk away from what was, I step into all of you and all of this lot. And I thank you for community and communion. Let's receive the new covenant into our hearts and into our bodies. All right, our time is gone, but I want you just to put a hand on the person next to you. Hold, just keep your cup or something just so we don't get distracted. That's totally fine. That's fine. Just put a hand on somebody near you. Hold your cup with the other hand. Father, I bless everyone in this room to walk in a deeper level of community with you and with each other. Because you're good and because you love us. So we thank you with hearts overflowing. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.